Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see you walking up, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes, hey, I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. Tonight to see the light of day, cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are half the time, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dream yet, but I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking now, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, oh, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you.
Step three, step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes.
Walking towards the promise. Walking towards better land.
Said I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet, but I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, oh, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, oh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, our Father Yahweh. Thank you for leading and guiding us, Father. Thank you for blessing us with another day, Father. Thank you for blessing us with the Shabbat. Thank you, Father, for blessing us, Father, with the relationship that we can have with your Son, Yahushua, Father. I pray on behalf of all my brothers and sisters, Father, that their mind, their body, their spirit, be in good health, Father. And Father, if there's anything that we are lacking, Father, that you hear our prayer, you hear our supplication, Father, and that you heal us where we need to be healed. You uplift us where we need to be uplifted. You guide us where we need to go, Father. And that, Father, that you continue to show us, Father, and confirm and reaffirm every day, Father, in our lives, that you love us, Father. I pray for my Zakane. he sent out on the line, that he wanted us to remember his family and lift him up in prayer and lift his family up in prayer. Father, I pray that you are magnifying your presence within his life, Father, and his family's life, Father, so that they could know and understand, Father, that you are the master physician, you are the master healer, Father, and that once we put our trust in you, Father, nothing you will withhold from us, Father, if it be according to your will, Father. So I ask, Father, now that your spirit be here with all of us this Shabbat day, Father, that you let us know, Father, that you are with us, Father, and that, as my brother says in his prayer, Father, that you put me aside, Father, and that you use me, this lump of clay, Father, to bring forth your word, Father, and to speak what is necessary and edifying first for myself, Father, and for the brothers and sisters, Father, who are listening and who at some point will listen, Father. Just ask, Father, that in the name of thy son, Yahushua, Father, that you be amongst us today, Father, in this holy Shabbat day, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray, Father. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah. Welcome again on this beautiful Shabbat day, this sunny Shabbat day, to Blog Talk, Kol Elohim, and I'm your brother Ahab All with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And welcome to another installment of Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I pray again that everybody is in good health, mind, body, and spirit. And if you are not, family, anybody that's out there, if you need prayer, if you need a brother or a sister, give one a holler. Reach out, call out, cry out, do whatever it is that you need for your healing. You know, I know these are times where things seem like, you know, you're isolated and alone. You're not. You're not. You're not. Even if you're not able to be with someone physically, that voice, that presence can still be there to heal you, to comfort you, to guide you. You know, one of the things that Abba has reaffirmed in my life this week, as well as a brother who, you know, I've been talking to every day, got to talk to several brothers, you know, throughout the week this week, and it's been a blessed week, you know, but Abba reaffirmed that he hears everything. And, you know, I'm not going to yammer on. I want to get straight to the lesson, family, but today, we're going to talk about, again, back to basics. You that dialed in, you that at some point may listen in for the sake of strengthening your relationship, gaining a relationship, understanding this relationship with our Heavenly Father and His Son, Yahushua, you are His witness. And we're going to look into that today because it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to come into this understanding who, one, the God of creation is, two, His Son is, and the fact that He wants to have this relationship with us. I can't say this enough. Abba loves us. He loves us. His ears are never unattentive to us. His eyes are never off of us. He sees, he hears, he feels, he knows what's going on with his children. You understand what I'm saying? Whether it's good or bad, in the joyous times, he is there. In the times when you need him, he is there, family. And I'm going to ask for your forgiveness in advance. My dog is out in the backyard guarding the air again. And, of course, you know, he likes to make sure that the air is safe, so he's going to bark at the air from time to time. So please forgive me if you hear that in the background. I know if I hear it, y'all might be able to hear it, too. He loves to guard the air. That's his job. Anyway, the first scripture I'd like to go to, family, is in the book of Romans, third chapter. My little West Indian came out for a second. Third chapter, verses 1 through 5, family. And it starts off with this. Excuse me. What advantage then hath the Jew? And we know that term, and if you don't know what that term means, Jew is a Hebrew term from the word Yehuda, which means one who praises Yah, one who lifts his voice up in praise to Yah. So he's saying, or asking rather, what advantage then hath those who lift up their voice in praise to Yah? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, first, we're in the book of Romans. So this book, think of the target audience at this point. This book is written, or these accounts are being written to the Romans, who, if we know anything about the history of the Jews and the Romans, it's a very contentious history. But what we come to find out through the accounts in the scripture is that there were some Romans who were coming into the knowledge and understanding that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the true God. However, as they're coming into this relationship, of course, there are things that they do not understand. There are things that are very foreign to them. So here it is, as Shaul, as Brother Paul is talking to them, it's almost like, and forgive me, I'm not trying to downplay this anyway, but it's almost like he's giving a pitch to them. He's presenting this argument to them in the sense of, you know, why even walk this way? Why even be a part of this? Especially if, when you're looking at it from the point of an advantage, well, we have the advantage because we have you subjugated. You're under our authority, or so it would seem. That they were solely under the authority. Now remember, there were at the time when Yahushua HaMashiach was sacrificed, was crucified, that there were many Romans there, Roman centurions, Roman soldiers. It wasn't just, this was a public spectacle. So there were people there that weren't just associated with quote unquote Judaism. They weren't just his disciples and his apostles there. There were also many Romans there because this was a public execution. So some of these Romans, and remember, there's an account that after he had passed, he gave up the ghost and he said, Eli, Eli, you know, why have you forsaken me? And he cried out and he gave up the ghost. Remember, there were events that took place, and it is recorded that one of them said, this truly was the Son of God. So there were many, as a result of his crucifixion, of the sacrifice that he gave, that at that point understood that this was a mighty one. This was a heavenly being. This was someone who wasn't just an ordinary man. So as a result of it now, many of them are starting to come in and want to know more. So, excuse me. So the question is, what advantage? And when we think of the term advantage, what does that mean? Let's just look at it from the basic English. All right. And of course, I'm going to go to, I believe this is Merriam-Webster. I don't know, the app done changed on me. And the English definition of this term advantage: any state, circumstance, opportunity, or means specifically favorable, or means specially favorable to success, interest, or any desired end. And it gives an example: the advantage of a good education. Two, benefit, gain, profit, superiority, or ascendancy, often followed by over or of. Also, a position of superiority, or to be of service, to yield profit, gain, to benefit. But you get where I'm going with this. So the point is, he's trying to let them know that there is advantages to this. He's not just asking a question. He wants to bring about a thought in their mind as to why this way of life is better than the way of life that they are experiencing when it comes to having a relationship with the God of creation. Okay? So then he further goes, well, what profit is there of circumcision? Now, they are considered the circumcision. Why? Because they are the ones who practice circumcision. I am not saying at this point, if you are not circumcised, that you need to get circumcised. That is not the point. It's the association of who these people are, because this was not a practice of any other nation besides those who associated themselves with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nowadays, it's a thing that people do just because there may be some health benefits to it or may not be some health benefits to it. But that wasn't the case back then. Think about what we learned in the book of the Maccabees. This was something that was specifically associated with this nation. But it is not saying, and that is not the position, if I can speak on this, that Beth Yahweh congregation says that in order to fulfill your calling in this life, that that's what you have to do. No. There are scriptures that totally say that that is not the case. When all it says is that at some point, if you have a child, if that child is in a healthy state and you are able to do it, then fulfill this commandment with your children. But as far as you coming in, doesn't mean that you have to do it. So I just wanted to state that for the record, so that anybody who listens doesn't feel like Beth Yahweh's official position is you got to have this done, because there are some congregations who teach that. That is not something that we hold steadfast to. If that is a personal choice and that is what you want to do, by all means, do it. If it makes you feel like you are fulfilling that commandment, but it's not something that you necessarily have to do. So let me move on from that anyway. Now, excuse me. Sorry, I got a little frog in my throat today. Romans 3:2, he says, much every way, chiefly, and this is the main reason when he says chiefly, he is saying this is the absolute most important, paramount, or however you want to see it in your mind, reason. Because that unto them, the Yehudim, Yehuda, the Jews, were committed the oracles of the living God. Okay? So now, let's talk about this term oracles, because that's very important that we define this term oracle. All right? So now, again, I'm going to my Webster's Dictionary family. And don't forget, as my brother stated last night, make sure you got your tools handy. Hopefully that should be common practice at this point. You know, have your tools handy. Which you, when the classes are at 11 o'clock. Bible study is at 1 o'clock. I mean, the Torah portion at 1 o'clock. Have it already handy when you come, family. Okay? This is school. It's class. It's what is the purpose of it. All right. So the term oracle, it says, one, especially in ancient Greece, an utterance, often, now this is to the Grecians, often ambiguous or obscure, given by a priest or a priestess at a shrine as the response of a god to an inquiry. Well, this is their word, so this is what it means to the Greeks. It's a Greek term, okay? Two, the agency or medium given such responses, a shrine or a place at which such responses were given, a person who delivers authoritative, wise, or highly regarded and influential pronouncements. But this is where it's important for us to understand. A divine communication or revelation. So that is what we must understand. That is what he wanted them to understand, and for those in future times to understand, excuse me, that the only people on the planet Earth who have divine communication or revelation as it relates to the living God are the Yahudim. They're the only ones who God himself has spoken to. So beyond anything else, that is the advantage. Now, let me move on. 3:3. For what if some did not believe? So he's saying some may not believe. Just because they don't believe, though, 3:3, shall their unbelief make the faith of the mighty one without effect? Because guess what? There are some Jews, Yahudim, at that time, who, as much as Romans were coming to believe, there was many of them that did not believe. And in particular, in regards to Yahushua HaMoshiach, because now some of them knew the conversation that was happening among the Pharisees and Sadducees. Why? Because in some ways they were agents of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Remember, when they came to get Yahushua, it was the high priest and the Roman authority. They were the popo. They were the police. They were the militia. They were the ones who had the right to arrest and seize someone. They were the ones who seized Yahushua. So now many of them were like, wait a minute. How is it that you are going to present to us this information about the living God, but hey, we know y'all, some of y'all don't believe in God. Isn't that what Yahushua asked them? He said, if you believed in Moshe, you would believe in me. So he's letting them know, you ain't even believe in Moshe. So how could you believe in me? So you don't think that some of these conversations, some of this understanding wasn't among some of them? Absolutely it was. They were cohorts. They were confederate in their plan to destroy the Messiah. They worked together. That's in scripture and in history. Okay? So he says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of the mighty one without effect? He said, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, talking about Yah, Elohim, the mighty one, our God, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of the mighty one, what shall we say? Is the mighty one unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? And he further says, this is Paul, in parentheses there, I speak as a man. Okay? So, just to lay a little background knowledge there of what was actually taking place. But again, don't forget, he's asking and he is trying to bring about the point of the advantages that we have, those of us who call upon the living God, the Yehudim. Okay? Now, walk with me again, family. We're going to go to Malachi 3:16-18. You know, and I have to give up a little confession, you know, again, you know, where I started off with, you know, me and my brothers talking throughout the week and just the things that Abba has confirmed, you know, between me and you know, talking to Ariel every day, you know, that he's confirmed between the two of us, you know, especially when we heard the Rosh Kodesh teaching that Rabbi did, that, oh, he listens. I mean, there were some things that Rabbi said in the lesson that my brother and I had, between the two of us, were saying word to word. Now, I did talk to my rabbi this week about, you know, something that I was studying, but I didn't talk to him about those particular conversations that Ariel and I had. And I don't believe that Ariel, well, I know he didn't, because when we talked the next day, he said, no, I didn't talk to the rabbis. It was like just confirming to us that Yahweh listened. So I want to share this scripture with everybody just as a testimony to what it is that we need to do between one another, family. It's important. Find a brother or a sister, if you're for the sisters, to talk about Yahweh every day, family. Find a reason. Seek a reason. Doesn't mean that you have to have an in-depth Bible study, but communicate. Whether it's if your husband and your wife is the person that you, or a wife and your husband is the one person that you have that relationship with, where you can have those wonderful and fulfilling conversations about the word, whoever it is. And if you don't have a person like that in your life, as your brother Ahab, all I will say, find that person in your life. And it don't have to be one person. It could be several people. I went to see my brother Dayuel this week. Boy, he dropped some knowledge on me. Went to see my brother Mara Al this week. Boy, the brother looked at him. He's talking. He looked at me at one point and was like, what? He said, you ain't saying nothing. I said, bro, I'm listening. I'm getting my Bible study, and you teaching me some things, you know? But the brother sitting there, and he was on fire. That hour I spent with him a few days this week, man, the brother sat down and just dropped so much knowledge on me, and it was like, woo, bro, you might need a class. You might need to start doing some teaching. But it was a wonderful thing, man, just to feel the presence of Yahweh there. And the fact that his word is so true, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of it. I like what he's telling us is, I love to hear when y'all talk about me. And when I hear y'all talking about me, I like to come down and listen to what y'all saying. I like to feel that fire that is burning between the two of y'all. Because sometimes, like when I call my brother when I'm on my way into work, he's the one that's most accessible. I call him all, you know, every day. And when I'm talking to him, it doesn't always start off with this grand, you know, fire as far as the spirit of Yahweh. It might just start off as a little spark, but as it grows and as it builds and the more that we talk, you know, man, before you know it, my brother and I, we talking for like 2 hours. You know, I'm forgetting I'm at work. I got work to do. He's forgetting he at work. He got work to do. You know what I'm saying? But it's so beautiful. And I have to tell you, family, stop cheating yourself when it comes to that. Whomever it is, if it's your wife, if it's your husband, if you don't have somebody, find somebody to talk about that word, to talk about Yahweh every day, because it's important, and we're going to see proof. If y'all haven't already started reading, Malachi 3:16, then they that feared, reverenced, Yerah, Yahweh, spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And he says this, and this is very important. And a book of remembrance. That means when you are having these conversations and you are invoking the name of Yahweh and you are invoking his word and you are talking about Yahweh's favorite subject, which is his son and his word, he says, I'm remembering. I'm writing it down in a book. Think about what Yahushua said. They were so happy that they had cast out them demons. Oh, yeah, we cast out demons. He said, man, that's not the important part. The important part is that you are written in my Father's book of life. So he says a book of remembrance was written before him for them that reverenced, feared, Yerah, Yahweh, and that thought upon his name. And he says this, and they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And he literally means jewels. What do people do with jewels? They adorn themselves with them. So he's saying, when I'm ready to adorn myself, I'm going to adorn myself with those who think about the priest's garment, the high priest in particular, and that big piece of jewelry he hung around himself, that ephod, right? And it had 12 beautiful stones in it. This is what Yahweh is saying. I'm going to adorn myself with you. When I know you reverence me, and when I know that you call upon my name, and that you love to talk about my name, and that you love to talk about my word, you are making me yours, I'm also making you mine, is what Yahweh is telling us here. So again, 3:17, and they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. 3:18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth the mighty one and him that serveth him not. And it's important in this day and age because right now there's so much information and misinformation that's being put out there, and oftentimes it can cause us to be swept up in it, because it's like people got too much time on their hands, you know. And one of the things that I see is that as a result, especially with this new thing now, it's the new thing, the TikTok thing, that anybody can say anything. You could just get on there and make a video and say whatever you want, and so many people will just climb into it just because it sounds like it's something good. Not that it's necessarily true, but because it sounds and it gets your attention, you know, it can be done, so they do it, you know. And I see that a lot, because I get it several times a day throughout the day from different people that I know, not necessarily people within the congregation, you know, but just different people. And sometimes I share with my brothers, and sometimes they share with me with my brother. And sometimes it is edifying. Sometimes it is some good things, but there's also a lot of stuff that you got to sift through that's out there as well, you know. But I always watch the videos because I'm interested to know what the, you know, what people are saying and whether or not it can be verified through the word of Yah. Amen. So anyway, next scripture, family. We're going to go to the 8th chapter of Isaiah, starting at verse 11 through 20. All right? Isaiah 8, 11 through 20, family. And the writer says this: "For Yahweh spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." Do you hear that? "Say ye not a confederacy," means "say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy." What is a confederacy? A joining together of groups of people. Okay? And if you grew up in the United States and you know that the United States history, you know there was a group of people called the Confederacy. Okay? But he says, "Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." And he says this, 8:13, "Sanctify Yahweh of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, your reverence, your yirah, and let him be your dread." So don't fear what these people are doing out here amongst us, family. Don't be worried. Don't worry about that. We good. We real good. Trust and believe. We're real good. We don't have to be worried about what's going on. Not saying that we shouldn't prepare. Not saying we shouldn't do what we need to do. But don't be afraid. You don't have to be concerned about that. Let them fight amongst themselves. We've got something more important to look forward to. We've got a more important task that is at hand for us. We've got a mission. We've got a job to do. The Yates of Horrors lurking, trying to make you forget you got a job to do. You're a priest and a prince. Yabba dabba doy, dabba doy, ba doy. All right? You're a warrior fighting for your soul. Remember that. Taken from the world above and brought down to this world below. Don't forget that. Okay? Anyway, he says, sanctify Yahweh of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Why? Because they're not sanctifying Yahweh of hosts. But he says this: bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon Yahweh that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. from Yahweh of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Sorry, my thing went off. And when they shall say unto you, 8:19, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their mighty one? For the living to the dead? He says this, and this is the point of it all. He says, to the law, to the Torah, and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, because there is no light in them. Now, what does he mean by to the Torah, to the law, and to the testimony? Well, let's take a look at this term testimony for a second, family. Okay? And, of course, I'm going to the, dictionary.com, I guess. All right? And it's interesting sometimes when you see these proofs within these simple English words. We're not even going into the Hebrew right now. If you want to go back later, go into what you find in the Hebrew. You will find that it is talking about, as my brother stated last night, as a matter of fact, we will look at it just to confirm what my brother talked about last night. Testimony. This is from dictionary.com, I believe. Law. The statement or declaration of a witness under oath or affirmation, usually in court. Evidence in support of a fact or statement. Proof. Open declaration or profession as of faith. Usually testimonies, the precepts of God. Now check out 5, family, if you went there with it. If not, I've got it right here. It says the Decalogue. What is the Decalogue? The 10 Commandments as inscribed on the 2 tablets of the law, or the ark in which the tablets were kept, Exodus 16, 34, 25, 16. So you mean this is the definition they have in English for this word on the book? That it points back to the Torah? Because that's what it just said. It points you back to the Torah. Whether they just saying it's the Ten Commandments or not, the Ten Commandments is still Torah. And then they say 6, archaic, a declaration of disapproval, protest. So when he says to the law and to the testimony, and then again, I'm going to keep my word, we're going to look at this word for testimony just to further prove what this word means in Hebrew. And bear with me, family, if you have your Strong's Concordance or if you have the app, this is where we're going. We're going to the Hebrews 8:5-8:4, and the word there is te'udah, right? And it says from 7:5-7:4-9, attestation. That is a precept, usually a testimony, right? So in order for there to be a testimony, for someone to give a testimony, because remember, it's talking about giving an account as in a court of law. That means you are being called as a witness to something, right or wrong. So now, the root word of that is the ayin, which is in Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew for the I, and the dalet, which is in ancient Hebrew, the symbol or picture of a door, pictograph for witness. The I is a picture, the ayin is the picture of the I, the dalet is a picture of the door. Combined, these mean see the door as coming to a tent of meeting, and entering in, a place, time, or event that is repeated again and again. So as my brother was stating last night, that dalet means movement, going in, going out, going in, going out. But the point is that there is movement there. So Yahweh is saying to those that keep the Torah and to those that know how I move, that watch my movement, that are a witness to the things that I have done, if they're not speaking according to that, there is no light in them. No matter how good it may look, no matter how good it may seem, But if he's saying, if they ain't talking about the word of God, they ain't talking the truth of the Torah, there is no light in them. Further proof, let's turn to Psalms 119, 105 to 112. Okay? Let's listen to what King David has to say about that. Again, Psalms 119, 105 to 112. He's, and this is noon. Okay, so if you know anything about a few of these psalms here, he goes through and each one has one of the different letters of the Aleph Bet, the Hebrew Aleph Bet. And this one so happens to fall under noon. And he says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So he's saying the word of Yah don't exist in them. That's what Isaiah is saying. If they're not speaking about the word, then the word don't exist in them. Because the word is the light. And the true light is the word of Yah. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, 106, and I will perform that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Yah, according unto thy word. Accept as I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Yahweh, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy Torah, thy laws. What it says, thy Torah. 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. So we see it's further confirmation from the book of Isaiah. What are the things that we should be concerned about? What are the things that we are supposed to be keeping our eyes on? What are the things that we are called to be a witness to? We are called to be a witness to the Torah of Yah, the law of Yah, and we are called to be witnesses to how he moves, how he operates, what he does. All right, moving on, family. That was just basically to lay some groundwork. Now, walk with me. Turn with me, family, to Isaiah, we're going to Isaiah 43. May have a little bit of reading to do here, family. Oh, not that much. Okay. 43:1 says, Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith Yahweh that created thee, O Jacob, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Yisrael. Fear not, as in don't be afraid, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the rivers, 43:2, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He further says, for I, Yahweh, thy mighty one, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast, and I found it pretty interesting when during the Rosh Chodesh teaching, you know, going back and looking at the layout of the land that Abba has given to us, he literally has given to us, or did at one point gave to us, as in, and I hope people looked it up, between the Nile and the Euphrates River. That's a heck of a lot of land. A heck of a lot of land for a nation to dwell in. And he gave all of that to us. And it does include parts of Egypt, parts of modern-day Egypt, parts of modern-day Ethiopia. It does include some of that land when you look at it. So his word is true. Still to this day, even though we don't have it, by our own fault, we don't have that land. But in time, Yahweh will fulfill his word and will reclaim that land for his people. But once he returns. But anyway, 43:3, for I am Yahweh, thy mighty one, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. Hold up. And gather thee from the west. Hold up. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This is Yahweh saying this. So each one of us, regardless of where you're from, should rest and rejoice in the fact that Abba has called, his word is true. He's called you from wherever you was, from wherever you were, to here. And when I say he, I don't necessarily mean Beth Yahweh, but to a place now where you have a relationship with. He told him, he said, you got to give up my children. Think of what Yahushua said. I'm not going to lose one. I'm not going to lose one. Think about this. And my brother and I had a beautiful conversation about this. Yahweh said further in his word in Jeremiah, don't think that you came together because your mother or your father fell in love or your mother and your father had a relationship. I organized that. I brought that relationship into being to bring about you. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Do we realize the blessing that is in that? Do we? Or do we take that blessing for granted that Yahweh said, your mama and daddy ain't come to wherever, however they met, whether they were married for years, whether it was a one-night stand, whether or not you did not know one or the other. The fact that you are here in a relationship with Yahweh, he said, he fulfilled his word, he called you out, and he let you know. They were just a vessel. A vessel to bring you here. You be selfish about it. Understand the blessing that is in that. That he specifically has his eye on you, the individual that is hearing this lesson right now. 43:6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. 43:7. Even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Yes, ultimately he is talking about Yahushua HaMashiach. We know that, but he's talking about his sons and daughters too, that each one was made and formed specifically by Yahweh for a purpose. Let that marinate, let that sink in. Don't hold back, walk within that knowledge and understanding. Regardless of your circumstances, the greatest thing that could have happened in your life is that somebody, I'm not going to say somebody, that Yahweh introduced himself to you and his son to you. Don't take that for granted, because you are special. And not to get big-headed about it, not to be boastful or bragging about it, because it's not about the individual, but it's what Yahweh has infused within you, what Yahweh has done to bring you to this point. Even everyone, 43:7, that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let him hear and say it is truth. But he says this to his sons and daughters, to every one of us, everyone that is listening. Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Aya, Asha, Aya, I will be what I will be for you. I am everything for you. I can. There's no words that can describe that can describe the depth of what he says back then at the burning bush. They can't translate it because it's untranslatable in some regards. That term, Aya, Asha, Aya. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to lose anybody. If you don't understand it, call me a little bit later. We could talk about it, or reach out to one of the priests, and they could go through that with you, where he says, I am that I am. He's letting us know right then and there, you need me to be the warrior, I can be the warrior. You need me to be the father, I can be the father. You need me to be your guardian, I can be your guardian. You need me to be your savior, I am your savior. I can be anything that you need me to be for your good. But again, 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before there was no mighty one formed, neither shall there be after me. Again, before me, there was no mighty one. There was no God. There was no El. There is no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. He said, 43:11. Even I am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. So now, before there was all this obscurity now, because that's one of the things that I really dislike about some of these social media platforms, because now everybody can say this. There was this God that the Israelites took from Egypt, and Egypt, and Egypt, and Egypt. You keep hearing all this crap about Egypt. Well, guess what? In this very same book of Isaiah, there are tons of prophecy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look at one in particular, one prophecy to use for these Neo-Egyptologists, these Neo-Chemites that always want to talk this and want to talk that about this king. Y'all don't even have to turn with me. I'm just going to read it. Isaiah 19:20 says, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt, that they shall cry unto Yahweh because of their oppressors, and he shall send them a savior. Talking about the Egyptians, go back and read this chapter 19, go back afterwards, and he shall deliver them, and Yahweh shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know Yahweh in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto Yahweh and perform, and Yahweh shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite and heal, and they shall return even to Yahweh, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. He talking about the Egyptians too, family. Remember, he told them, y'all were going to share some of the same fate as Israel. Y'all going to be with your buttocks exposed, being taken in the ships too. So when these Neo-Egyptologists, these Neo-Chemites, these new Africans want to come at you with all this mumbo-jumbo, ask them, the God you serve, your Chemetic gods that you serve, that you call on, what was their plan for you? What is their plan for you? What do they say about you in their writings pertaining to your situation? And they will have no answer whatsoever. But you do. You do. Because Yahweh, and one of the things I love about the God we serve, full disclosure. He don't hide nothing. He don't hold nothing back. He said, that which I give to you belong to you and your sons forever. Ever. Okay? Forgot where I left off. I think 12. I'm going to start back at 11. I am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and I have saved, and I have showed there was no strength. When there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am Mighty One. Yea, before the day was, I am He. One of my favorite terms for the Creator is the Ancient of Days. something about that term just is so powerful. The Ancient of Days. You mean before there were days I existed? That's what it speaks to me when it says upon the throne the Ancient of Days did sit. One who is beyond time. One who sees no corruption, no age. He is infinite in his power. So he let us know before there was even a day created, guess who was there? Remember when we read in Genesis, there was evening, there was morning. So before there were days, he existed. He says, yea, 43:13, yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. He said, all that have been entrusted to me, I will lose not one. I will work, and who shall let it? 43:14. Thus saith Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith Yahweh, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. He's talking about what he did back then when we crossed the sea, the Reed Sea. I parted the sea. Sure, Moshe was the instrument, but it was my power that did that. And when y'all saw Pharaoh and his army drowned, I was the one who killed them. I was the one who saved y'all from them. I made a path for you, a dry path through a body of water. I will even change nature and the elements itself for you, Yisrael. Just believe in me. Thus saith Yahweh, 43:16. Which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old? He's like, y'all don't remember that? Y'all don't remember? Y'all must have forgot. 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Did he not do that? 43:20. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Yisrael. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me, listen to the plead here. Just listen to what he is pleading to Yisrael. He is telling them, I want this relationship with you. 43:24, thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast worried me with thine iniquities. What's going on with our relationship here? 43:25, he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Declare unto me so that you can be justified before me. What have I done wrong is what he's saying. What I do to you? What have I done to you, Yisrael? What have I done to you, Beth Yahweh? What have I done to you? Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. 43:27. Thy first father have sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob the curse to the curse and Israel to the reproaches. It's not my fault. You can't charge me with the transgression of your fathers. You can't charge me with the transgression of the priests. They sinned against me. I ain't sinned against them. So the conditions that we are in aren't the result of anyone else but our own doing. Moving on. Now, to share something with y'all, you know, I watch my YouTube videos. And for some reason, this popped up on my YouTube timeline. It was talking about the forbidden chapter. I'm like, forbidden chapter? What is a forbidden chapter? So, you know, I had to go call my rabbi about it. You know, and initially we were thinking, you know, it's Daniel. So did a little bit of digging, and it's supposed to be this chapter right here, Isaiah 53. They consider it the forbidden or the unreadable chapter. So wait a minute. If Yahweh said in his word, all that I have given to you, what that which I reveal belongs to you and your sons, that belongs to you forever. Who are they to forbid anyone or call anything a forbidden chapter? Why? Because it doesn't go along with your agenda? Why? Because it doesn't fit into your doctrine? Why? Because you choose not to believe? No, no such thing with Yahweh as something that is forbidden other than to disobey him. So it starts off like this. Who hath believed our report? He's asking a question. Because there are reports that are going to be given. And when these reports are given, are people going to doubt them? And we're going to see which reports he specifically is talking about. As a matter of fact, we're in the midst of these reports right now. Anyway, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? And for some of my old school folks, what is the arm of Yahweh? That's Zeruah. That's Zeruah. So he's saying, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. So we know who he's talking about now, right? Okay. So now the report that is supposed to be believed, what is this report about? Okay, I'm continuing on. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So those of us who are here know exactly who this is talking about. Why is this the forbidden chapter? He said, you know what? Y'all not getting in the kingdom? And neither are y'all allowing people to get into the kingdom. Because if you go and you look at what they say about this and why it's forbidden, there's no reason other than it doesn't jive with their doctrine. But again, we're going to continue on, family. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for his transgressions. We know that is Yahushua HaMoshiach. Whether people want to accept it or not, and that's why we even started off with what Paul said, let Yah be true and let all men be liars. Don't give up your faith in Yahushua, no matter what people say, no matter what people teach, no matter what. There's so much garbage information that is going out there now, especially about the belief in the Messiah, especially about the writings of the New Testament, quote unquote New Testament. I get so much of this stuff, especially on this TikTok platform, of people that just want to sow seeds of doubt. Yes, it angers me. Yes, it sickens me. Yes, it pisses me. Excuse me for saying it. Yes, it does. It upsets me to my soul. Because one of the things, the purpose and intent for it is to bring about doubt. They are trying to get between you and your salvation when they do that. Do you understand that, family? Whenever somebody presents to you a video that is supposed to bring about doubt about what we are being taught, it is not to be taken lightly, because they want to get between you and your salvation. They want to get between you and your divine calling. They want to get between you and the relationship with your Father. Don't allow that to happen. Fight. Fight. That's why I say go talk to a brother. Talk to a sister. Build a relationship with someone that you can use to help you get through whatever struggles you have. I'm telling you, I know for a fact it works. Anyway, moving on, family. So now, with that having been read, and think about where Yahweh has us right now, family. We've gone through Lucas. We've gone through Marcus. We've gone through Yahuchanan. We've been through Luke, Mark, John, and now we are going through Matthew. And depending on where the sovereign decides to lead our rabbi, whichever book we go through next, that will be the next book. But think about where Yahweh is leading, and why he's even leading us in this time. Because there's so much going out now by means of social media to lay the seeds of doubt about the testimonies. And that's why he said, who will believe our report? You know what? When we think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know what we should look at them as? Reporters. Reporters. We haven't gone through Luke yet. My bad. Reporters. Reporters, family. That's whoever wrote it went to them, purpose of getting eyewitness testimony. Do we understand it? Just like we might read, think about it. To this day, World War II has taken place some 70 odd years ago. But do you know people are still investigating accounts that took place on something that took place 70 years ago? People are still reporting I just read a report about the little girl who got killed 20 years ago. They're still investigating. They're still reporting on the tragic death of this little girl. They're still looking into this thing. So when we look at the Gospels, when we look at the accounts of these men and the people who assisted them in writing this material, that's exactly what it is. Eyewitness accounts of the events that took place. So let's look at a few of them. The first one we're going to start is Luke. And one of the things that I love about Lucas, right, is he starts off as this. For as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. And Theophilus is not a person per se, even though, yes, there may have been someone named Theophilus. Theophilus is a term that means God lover. So he's writing these accounts for the people who love God. He got these eyewitness accounts to record for us unto this very day for those who are God lovers. You, me. This is why we do this, because we love God. We love the Mighty One. That is why we do this. This is why we keep Shabbat. This is why we are building this relationship continually with Him, family. And He ends off in 1:4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So when it says, who hath believed our report, these are the reports, because that whole chapter 53 is talking about the Messiah and what he would go through in his life. He had these men to write this down, and we are still reading these things to this very day. Now, going to go to the book of Acts. Acts 1:1, and he says this. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, who just called people Theophilus? Luke. So this book is attributed to Luke, of all that Yahushua began both to do and teach. And what a treatise is, it's just a very long essay. Remember back in the day in school when we used to write essays? Sometimes you had to write an essay to prove a point, an essay to disprove a point, an essay just to bring about information. Well, a treatise is a very long essay. It's like one of them things that you might read in a magazine. Well, you're reading the scriptures and what is called the Bible. That's this. The entire book of Acts is one huge essay that gives eyewitness accounts, a report of what people experienced with Yahushua and among the believers. That's what it is. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, Ruach HaKodesh, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Yah. Do we believe this? Again, who is going to believe what we report? This is what they're reporting. 1:4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, Ruach HaKodesh, not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, Ruach HaKodesh, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Do we believe that or not? And when he had spoken 1:9 these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yahushua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, and manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Do we believe the report that was given, family? Do we believe? Let's look at a few more accounts. We're going to look at Mark, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Yahushua Mashiach, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Master, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, that lacketh the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. And it came to pass in those days that Yahushua came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Do we believe? Who hath believed the report? These are the reports of what took place. These are the reports. These are the reports of what had taken place during that time. And I'm saying this because I know the seeds of doubt have been sown, will continue to be sown. They're not going to stop sowing the seeds of doubt. They're not going to start talking about the number of crucified messiahs that came before. They're not going to stop talking about that. But the question is, are you truly a witness? Do you really believe? Because these are the reports that have been given. Regardless of whether men believe them or not, regardless of whether they doubt or not, see, they're always going to bring about a quote-unquote reasonable doubt. That's the work of HaSatan. That's the work of the devil. He's cut himself off from salvation, and he wants you to be cut off from your salvation. He's a dead man walking, but he don't want to go down by himself. So he's going to continually try to get between you and your salvation. But again, do you believe the report? Do you believe what has been reported? Now, we're going through Matthew, so I'm not going to go through Matthew. And we already went through Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew. And we are going to go through Matthew, you know, continue going through Matthew. But as we are going through these, do we believe the reports? Do we believe? Can't say it enough. Do you believe the reports? It's important. I'm going to read John, even though we did go through John. I'm going to read John again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from Yah, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He, meaning John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yah, the sons of God. Do you understand that? They're trying to get in between you and becoming the son of God. Do you believe that's what you are? Do you believe, and daughter, do you believe that? Again, 1:12. But as many as received him, to them received the Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. To them gave he power to become just like him, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Didn't we just hear that before in the prophet? And again, didn't we just hear this from the prophet? Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yah. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1:15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the Torah was given by Moshe, but grace and truth came by Yahushua HaMashiach. No man hath seen the Mighty One at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. Again, do we believe? And I'm just going to read one last scripture. I got more, but I think enough so far has been said regarding this issue. We're going to John 21, chapter 21, 24. He said, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Yisrael, we are called to be witnesses of the living God, witnesses of the Son of the living God, and that he has come to give us his salvation, family. Don't let anybody, by means of trickery, witchcraft, deceit, take that from you, family. Don't let them get between you and your salvation. Talk to a brother. Talk to a sister. Reach out. And if some of these things are causing too many problems, get off of social media and get into the Word. Get off that crap and get into the Word. If it is causing problems for you, if you are finding that it is bringing about seeds of doubt within you, family, get off it. It ain't worth it. It's not. Because it is you are enabling it. You are enabling it to cause problems with within your life. I know. Because I get it too. And that's why I, as your brother, full disclosure, am revealing that to you. So Yahweh had to help me and reveal some things to me. And ask me, do you believe my report? Shalom, family. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray, Father, that your will was done. I pray, Father, that your will continue to be done, Father. I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Father. I pray that your name continue to be uplifted within this congregation, Father. I pray that your name and your son's name never parts from our lips, Father. I pray, Father, every day that you look after us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, Father, and that you heal those who need to be healed. You bind up the wounds of those who are wounded, Father, that whatever is troubling any one of the members of our congregation's heart, Father, that you look after them. Look after my Zacchaeus, who cried out to us and say, lift him up in prayer. Look after his wife, too. Look after all my brothers and sisters, all, Father, who during this time, Father, may be going through various things, Father, but also place within their heart humility towards you and to cry out to you and to seek a brother. Seek a sister. Build that relationship. The word says, how can they love God who they haven't seen, but not love their brother and sister who they see every day, Father? And even though we may not be able to come together physically, Father, there's no reason why we should be apart. We are all, Father, just a phone call away, just one prayer away from you, Father. So, Father, I just ask, Father, that you hedge us all up. You continue to lead us and guide us, Father, that you continue to show us the love, Father. And thank you, Father, for letting us know that you hear us, that you listen to us, Father, and that your ears are attentive to us, Father. I pray that if we need to run into that high tower, Father, that we run as fast as we can, Father, to your refuge, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen.
blessings upon me.